Hey kids, are your parents about to buy you a shiny new toy from Amazon?
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Well, don't be selfish. Share some of that money with us. Before going on Amazon, make sure to type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser. It will look just like Amazon.com, except it'll say referral Geek to Me Radio up top. And then when you check out, a tiny percentage will go to support the show without costing you 1 cent more. So before your parents get you that gizmo, gadget, or widget, make sure they type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser.
bit.ly/geektome. bit.ly/geektome.
Welcome, 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 geeks and nerds, girls and boys, to a brand new edition of Geek to Me Radio. Tonight we are joined by actor, writer, director Mika Borum, talking all about her brand new film, Hollywood.com. We'll get into a little bit of other aspects of her career as well. We'll also pay tribute to the late Paul Soles and Gavin McLeod, and we'll try to get in a review of The Quiet Place, Part 2. Stand by.
We're talking TV, comics and movies, and video games. Star Trek from Star Wars, we'll try to explain. There are 12 doctors, 4 Hogwarts houses, 1 ring rules them all. To be the greatest Pokemon master, you must catch them all. You must catch them all. Try to catch them all. Gotta catch.
And for those of you driving around the greater St. Louis area right now hearing this on the big 550 KTRS, thank you for tuning in tonight. If you're streaming us live on Instagram, hello to all of you. And if you're on the Facebook or YouTube or Twitch TV channels, hello to you and thanks very much for tuning in tonight. A full show, a lot going on. I'm very excited to talk to my next guest, writer, producer, director, actor, a lot of aspects of her career I'm anxious to get into. We're joined by Mika Borum, who I'm going to put in right now. And there she is. Hello, Mika. How are you?
Thanks so much for having me. This is awesome.
Of course. Lot to talk about. As I mentioned in your intro, we definitely want to talk about Hollywood.com. Incredible cast. The fact that you wrote it and directed it and starred in it is amazing. A lot of other aspects of your career, too. But let's start with the movie. Talk a little bit about where the idea kind of sprang from, and we'll kind of go forward from there.
So Hollywood.com, it's an adventure comedy. We've got it up on Amazon right now. And so the story is there's a production company that's in a race to make the next big Mayan film. And, you know, it's funny because they say, like, always to write what you know. And so I thought it would be cool to include a lot of, like, different stories and different characters from, like, the whole kind of, like, Hollywood scene and do a satire on that. Because I grew up, you know, acting and had done all these films and whatnot, yeah. and like basically was on set. Yeah. And so I incorporated all of that. And then as I was developing it, I knew I wanted to make it even kind of more broad than that. And so it was really fun. I actually got together with my dad on this. And my dad is a gemologist, like with gemstones.
Wow.
And yeah. So he works in Latin America a lot and he knows all about, you know, jade, which we have the enchanted jade in the movie and that whole world. And so I kind of combined the two together and, it's got similarities to like one of my favorite all time movies is Romancing the Stone.
Oh yeah.
And so, and my dad really likes that movie too. Yeah. So it's got a lot of that in there.
Yeah, it's funny because that's one of the first things I thought about. Romancing the Stone definitely came to mind. Sahara, kind of those type of movies that have that adventure aspect to it. But the comedy thing is really a nice, it blends it so well throughout the movie. And when you've got people, what an amazing cast too, by the way. Tom Arnold, Brian Krause, Paige Howard are all in this. When you went from the idea of conceptualizing the movie to, okay, here's what we're going to do, to casting – Did you get most of your first choices for these, or were they kind of people were approaching you about this? Kind of talk a little bit about casting, if you could.
Casting was so much fun with this because I cast it with all of my friends. So like that was a big thing for me is I, because I've been acting for so long, it was really important to me to have a strong cast and to have working actors. And so I basically developed these characters that are in the story with friends of mine that I had worked with in other movies. So like Tom Arnold's in the movie, and Tom Arnold played my dad on a TV show, The Tom Show, for Warner Brothers. He played that for 2 years. So I reached out to him and I was like, Tom, like, all right, it's my directorial debut. Can you jump in? Can you play L. Jade, the drug lord of Mexico? Like, what do you think? He's like, yeah, I can do that. So, you know, I was very fortunate in that way with the cast. And what I did with a lot of the different people was I asked them what would be fun and fulfilling for them to play, you know, that they don't usually get to play in movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it, yeah, so it made it, you know, where they got to kind of, you know, have fun and sort of stretch their wings in different directions. So like, oh my gosh. You know, we just have like these different people in there. So like my friend, Cody Cash, who's in the movie, Cody always plays a mafiosa or psycho killer. And like in this, he gets to play Marvin Lovejoy, the dancing, singing network secretary, who's just like having a good time. And so we did that across the board with the actors. You know, Devin Rattray is in this, which Devin's done so much. He's on, the HBO show Mosaic, and he was on the Amazon TV show The Tick, and yeah, the Russian Dolls Netflix show. And so anyway, so he plays, which is a very different role for him. He gets to play the hustling, like move and shaker, semi kind of slimy producer, Andy Slimak. And so I just did that across the board with the cast, was just trying to figure out what would be fun and enticing, and then sat down and developed the characters with my friends and like made sure that they felt like well-rounded characters and that there were story arcs to them. It's a big ensemble movie. There's a lot of cast in this and like a lot of random cameos in this movie, which is so fun. Like it was fun to bring my friends on, like Billy Bob Thornton with the Boxmasters, the band, the Boxmasters, they have a little cameo in this and they gave us a couple songs, which is so cool. Brian Krause has done so much, but one of my favorite roles is he was Leo the White Knight on Charmed forever.
Oh, yes.
And
yeah.
So he's got a cameo in this and like, you know, he's just, he's fun. It's a quirky movie. There's these fun little tidbit, you know, different like fun cameos, little Easter egg homages to other movies and stuff in this too. So.
And it seems like, for something that you wrote and acted in and directed and everything like that, you could have gone easy and done a smaller cast, and you could have maybe kind of scaled down, because it is kind of a grand movie with all the places you shot and the plot and the concept. But you just kind of wanted to go big, I guess. Was that kind of where your mind was?
Yeah. I mean, we shot in Mexico, we shot in Guatemala, we shot in Texas, we shot in Arizona. So it was funny because for an independent film, you know, generally like what you want to do is you put, you know, a few actors in a room and they have, you know, conflict resolution. So for this, I just, you know, I wanted to do something large scale. I think that also, going ahead and like getting something that's sort of like an adventure, you know, movie with a lot of moving parts would be a good kind of fun challenge to put together. And it certainly was a challenge because there were parts I'm like, whose idea? Because like also with that cast too, like, you know, the cast, like they're working actors. So I had to like schedule around them,
right,
try to figure out about getting people places. Like,
yeah, just the locations alone put a Bond movie to shame with all the stuff that the places you shot. And I know I heard on a friend of mine's show you were on, and you mentioned having to shoot in the middle of the desert in one of the hottest times. And you're bringing in ice packs and things to keep the cameras cool. That's, again, one of those challenges that I guess you really couldn't have foreseen, but once you're committed, you just go with it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I've heard people say too, like with movies, once the train leaves the station, like you've got to get it done, you know?
Yeah.
And you have so many people, you know, jumping on board and collaborating. Like you've got to make sure that you finish it for everyone and that everyone's work gets out. The sand dunes was so funny. That was in Yuma, Arizona. And so specifically for that, we needed to film in that area when it was like the hottest days of the year because we wanted that specific pristine look of the sand. And you can only, because people ATV and they do all the off-roading there. So you can only get that pristine look when it's like hot as heck.
Wow.
And so we, so we did stuff like that, you know, we're like, okay, like we'll get out there and, you know, kind of, you know, band together, suffer through it and like, you know, get some great aesthetics, which we did on it. It looks really pretty. So
how long was that particular part of the shoot, like filming in that area? Was it, a quick day's turnaround in and out? Were you there for a longer period of time?
We were there for like 3 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were there for 3 days. But it was funny, too, because, like, you know, you're right up there on the border, too. It's the border of Mexico. And so, you know, Border Patrol's like, it's so hot. What are you doing? You're like, oh, yeah, we're out here, like, filming the thing. And they're like, what? You guys are crazy. Like, someone's going to die. How much water do you have? And we're like, oh, you know, like, oh, like.
Yeah, plenty of water, plenty of Gatorade, plenty of ice, and they call it suffering for your art for a reason, right?
Absolutely. Well, that's the thing that I think is kind of fun about, you know, with indie filmmaking is that you can kind of, you know, it can be harder with stuff, but you can also sort of push the envelope and, like, include weird things, and you don't have, you know, a huge studio head to answer to. So, like, in this, you know, one of the things that came up is we've got a family friend who has a camel. And so my dad and I were like, well, we have access to the camel. Like, can we get Bonnie the camel in here? And we were like, yeah, we can. Like, be right. You know?
Just a family friend. Yeah, let's have the camel in the shot. Let's why not?
Yeah, absolutely. We got the camel in there. We got the wildebeest in there. I mean, you know, if there's something cool that'll add production value to the movie, rewrite.
Right, exactly. We're putting the wildebeest in, folks. We have to hold for the wildebeest. Yeah, that's if you can do it, that's great. That's such a random phrase. Yeah, we've got access to a camel. That's fine. We'll have it done. That should be on the t-shirts for the movie, I think.
I'll tell you too, the camels are odd to film with.
Yeah.
Camels are so strange. Yeah, because with a camel, you know, it's hard. You can't tell if they're happy or if they're about to attack because they kind of like, I don't know enough about camels, but they're like their little legs cross over and you're like, oh, it looks cute. And then I'm like, no. And the camel had a thing with me, too, because the camel is always hungry. And so the camel eats a lot of hay. Mm. And so it kept like mistaking my hair for hay and like going after the back of my head. And I was like, well, all right. You know, I need a hat. Got to like.
And I know, was it a well-trained camel? Because I know people have said before, like you always see in the movies, like they'll come up, the people will come up, the handlers, and they'll just put the little baton on the camel's knees and the camel will drop down. And in real life, I've had a friend who was in the Middle East. And he said they're whacking that camel in the knees with their staff, trying to get it to come down on its knees. So I didn't know if it was a persnickety camel or was it well-trained?
So this camel is actually, this camel just kind of roams free. We filmed a lot in West Texas. And so in that part of Texas, people have, you know, some people have the exotic animals that they hunt. And then other people have the exotic animals that are pets. And so specifically, the ranch that we filmed on over there, the camel is a pet. So the camel is not, you know, the camel works for snacks.
Right.
And not to give too much away, but there's like a vehicle in the movie and the camel's like with the vehicle. Well, part of that, the reason why the camel is chasing the vehicle is because it wants more snacks. And so halfway through, she was getting surly and like we'd been feeding her so many snacks because we had her, you know, chasing the car around and stuff. Gosh, she was having a great day. It's probably like the best day of the camel's life in a while, you know? She had all of this just like foam in her mouth because she was like eating the snacks, having a good time. And then she was starting to get mad when we ran out.
See, I think we've come to that point in the conversation where half of my audience now really wants to see the movie and half want to own a camel, I think, because it sounds like a great experience.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. It was funny, too, because when we were filming the camel, our cinematographer, he was like right there in it. You know, and the camel, we've got a car running past and the camel, you know, is going back and forth, but he was like really focused into shooting everything. And it was funny because we did like a take and then suddenly we looked over and we're like, where is he? And he was like all the way up in this tree shooting down to hide from the camel. Yeah, it was an experience.
I can imagine. And again, we're talking with Mika Borum for this particular part of the show. If you'd like to shoot a text message, we have the KTRS text lines open, 84126. Just remember, when you send the text, put your name in there. Like I would say, James from St. Louis, my question is, and if you want it, we'll try to ask those questions. If you have a question for her about acting or about writing or about producing or about directing, because she's done all these different things. Do you mind if we take another quick break? Are you okay to hold with us?
Absolutely.
Perfect. We're going to take our next commercial break. We're going to come right back and chat more with Mika Borum. Please stand by. I don't want to wait for our lives to be over. I want to know right now, what will it be?
Hey, I'm Dan Fogler, everybody's favorite muggle, and this is Geek to Me Radio.
Welcome back to the show. The show would not be possible without the support of our premier sponsor. That's the City of St. Charles and the Greater St. Charles Convention and Visitors Bureau. We always say it's an historically good time. If you're a history buff, if you're a foodie, if you like finding unique places to shop, City of St. Charles has all of that and more. There's always something going on. They just had a music festival in St. Charles today for the Memorial Day weekend. They've got, if you're a fan of Halloween, Legends and Lanterns is coming up in the fall. If you're a Halloween fan at all, it's a lot of characters out there like Phantom of the Opera, Lizzie Borden, that you can interact with, living history characters. It's a lot of fun. Christmas traditions in the November and December is fun. Lots of things to do. There's an ice sculpting festival in the winter. There's Heritage Days. There's Scottish Days. All sorts of stuff going on. And if you're a foodie, there's places all over to eat that we're just going to blow your mind. We always recommend Tompkins House right there in the 500 block for specialty cocktails, Salt and Smoke. You can get some great desserts down at Magpies in the 900 block. And, of course, the Streets of St. Charles are there if you want something a little more modern, like a Dewey's Pizza or a Prosinos or something like that. A great time will be had by all. Make sure you check out the website and start to plan your trip there. That's Discover St. Charles, discoverstcharles.com for an historically good time. We're talking for this time right now with Mika Borum, talking about her film Hollywood.com. We just discussed all of the cool things as far as shooting with camels, locations. I want to talk about some of the other stuff you've done, because you've got such an impressive career for someone so young. It's amazing. When I was going over your IMDb resume, I'm like, saw that, really good, this was great. Just, it's got to feel amazing to be in your position that you are now, still very young in Hollywood, and having all these great credits. When you look back over your career so far, what are some of your personal highlights?
Oh my gosh, that's so nice. Thanks for saying that. Personal highlights, I don't know. I've worked with some really cool people. I've been super fortunate. Patriot was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, to work on a Patriot. I feel like that's like a classic Americana movie, you know? So like, that's pretty neat, about the Revolutionary War and, you know, with Mel Gibson, late Heath Ledger, just like such an epic, epic movie. So that was really cool. And, gosh, I don't know. Blue Crush was really awesome, to be a part of like a, you know, women's, sports film. And like, it's so, you know, I think it's probably one of the first that kind of came out that was like a really like large hit with like women's sports film. And then just like the cinematography and stuff on that was so cool, you know, with the water shots and everything. That was really neat to be a part of. Along Came a Spider with Morgan Freeman.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, that
super
was neat. I've been so honored and like, you know, to be a part of some cool stuff. I started pretty young. I started at 7. So yeah. Get that child labor in there. My parents, you know, my parents are both from small towns. And so I think they both started working at like 10. My dad started selling newspapers at like 10. And my mom, you know, doing her thing too. So
wow, yeah.
They started me young. Yeah. Hearts Atlantis was really cool with Anthony Hopkins. That was, you know, it's based off the Stephen King novel, not a horror film. It's got sort of more of a nostalgic, but like a little bit of a supernatural side to it. That was really awesome to be a part of. Yeah. I've had a great time. Dawson's Creek was really fun.
Sure. Yeah.
I was on there like the last, I think it was like the last season. So that was pretty fun too, because it was a recurring role on there and they were such like a well-oiled machine at that point too. You know, we filmed in Wilmington, North Carolina. Yeah, I don't know. It's been fun though. It's been really fun, and it's been really cool too. I'm excited to move over into the directing side of things. So, you know, I've got this full feature, and this is all the different hats that I wore. And right. then I've done some short film stuff too. And then I directed this music video during the pandemic, which was really fun. And we got it on country music television. Oh. The artist is Travis Tidwell. It's called Catch Me If You Can. And then it just got nominated for music video of the year for the Josie Awards, which I guess are the biggest independent music awards.
Wow, congratulations. So that's exciting too. That's great.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. The directing stuff's fun, you know, because I feel like I grew up on set too, like asking people a lot of questions, like, what do you do? Why are you doing that? Like, you know, and for acting, you know, you're more of like, you know, you're like a piece of a puzzle. And yeah. so, you know, you fit in and like you add something to it. But for directing, you're getting all of these different artists and trying to streamline a lot of people's visions and like their own artistic look at something. So it's a cool place to be in, because, you know, if you're working with people that you like and you respect, like you get to hear, you know, especially like with actors and stuff, and like in the music side too, you get to hear the wackiest ideas and you're like, oh, like yeah. that'll work. That's so weird. Or you're like, no, I think it's going a different direction. Bring it back. But it's fun, you know? That's why, like, specifically with this film too, I was like, all right, well, because it's a directorial debut, like it's going to be a lot of, like, I'm going to be spending a lot of time with this. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I chose too. I was like, I want to do something that's fun that I can like be passionate about and, get other people involved and like, you know, offer for them to have like a good quirky time with, you know, with the characters and stuff.
And obviously, like I said, you've worked on so many different things with so many great people. You mentioned them, Anthony Hopkins and Morgan Freeman, Mel Gibson, Jason Isaacs, and all these people you've worked with, the late, great Heath Ledger. When you're working, obviously, director, a Patriot, Roland Emmerich, one of the all-time great directors. When did it, in your mind, you decide, you know what, I kind of want to do what Roland's doing now? When did that wheel kind of click over for you? And as you're doing this, this is your huge directorial debut. What did you learn that you hadn't expected you'd find?
I think I kind of always wanted to do it in the back of my head. I always wanted to do it because, you know, one is you're showing up for the event and you're a guest. And then the other one is you're putting the whole event together and you're like hosting the event, you know? So I feel like it's sort of a natural progression, in that way. But, just working underneath people too. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, and I can't even imagine yet, like working on those huge projects, like Roland Emmerich and stuff. I mean, there's so many moving parts, so many. There were with this, but yeah, with something like that, it's got to be, you know, I commend them. It's such hard work. And I think with this, I learned a lot. I learned a whole lot because I was involved with each aspect of it. You know, I was involved with the writing, involved with the casting, involved with the directing, involved with the different locations, all of that. And then all the way into the distribution and having it released on Amazon. And that was an interesting experience too, because originally our plan with the movie was we were going to release it in Mexico in theaters first. Mm-hmm. And we had started doing a press tour through Mexico, and then the pandemic hit. And so then we were like, okay, because our plan was to, because there's so much Spanish in the movie too. We're like, okay, we'll release it in the Mexico theaters, which is a different distribution route, and then bring it to the theaters in the US. Mm-hmm. And we're like, this will be so fun. My dad and I were like, this is fun. Like, we're doing different stuff. Like, it's independent. We can do this. I love it.
Yeah.
Why not? Right? Push the envelope. But then the pandemic happened and we're like, what do we do? Like, you know, should we wait for theaters and like see, you know, when people will start getting back into them and like filling them up, or like, what do we want to do? And then we started like talking to some different people and they're like, oh my gosh, like it's such a great time to do streaming because people have run through all of the content too. Like during the pandemic, yeah. So many people watch stuff. Yeah. So they're like starting to revisit the old shows and whatnot. So, you know, it's a good time. And the movie is just a fun adventure. And, you know, it's about like, you know, going for it, like, you know, going for your dreams and just, you know, taking the opportunity and all of that kind of stuff. So there's nothing heavy in it. You know, there's no politics or religion or like violence or like no, you know, it's just goofy. So I feel like it's a good, I feel like it's a good time for it too, you know?
Oh, absolutely. People are ready for a little bit of break from all the heavy stuff that we've obviously we've lived through some heavy stuff. So it's nice to have that little palate cleanser after 2020.
Yeah, for sure.
I know, talking about Hollywood.com, you've also got another one. I noticed it's in pre-production, another directing credit for you, Snowball in Hell. Is this kind of, are you going to do more directing, or is it going to be a mix of acting and directing? Where do you kind of see your career trajectory going forward?
I'm interested in everything. I'm really interested in everything. Right now, there's a lot of projects where, you know, I kind of got the ball rolling in this thing where I'm doing my own projects and putting them together. And that's been really, like, really fulfilling and cool. And so, like, that specific project is such a wonderful project. It's about a boy in the late 1920s, and he is traveling across the United States by jumping trains. And he's like 12 years old. And so it's a coming of age story. So he, you know, is traveling across the United States. He comes from California. He heads south looking for work, and he jumps off in these different areas to try to find work. And there's these like wonderful vignettes where he meets people, and he ends up having these different experiences that he grows from, and then like leaves, goes on to the next one, goes on to the next one. So by the end of the movie, he's like this young adult who's completely different.
And
so yeah, I'm really excited about that one. That one we've been moving around a little bit with the pandemic, you know,
sure.
Because it's a little hard to figure out with all the filming right now, because a lot of things are still sort of, you know, separated in the pods, and like that's the music video that we shot, that was cool because it was a minimal crew and we were able to do that during the pandemic. But yeah, some of these other ones, because it also at this point too, when you're shooting, It's cost more with the budget, but it's not necessarily like because of the stuff with COVID, but it's not necessarily like you're seeing a lot more go up on screen with it. So, you know, it's it's adding to the budget, but you don't necessarily like get like to see anything more fantastic there. Yeah.
So as we kind of wrap things up here, we discussed the pandemic. As an actor and a director, you've obviously, I'm sure it's kind of hard at a certain point to divorce yourself when you're watching another project, to divorce yourself from analyzing the acting of the people, analyzing how it was directed, the lighting, the shots. What are some of the movies that have been either recently that you've found, or ones that are kind of like your comfort food go-to movies that you can totally just divorce that part of your brain from and just enjoy the film?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I love watching movies and analyzing what I think is good about it.
Okay.
I very much enjoy that. Even if it's a movie that, cause I feel like movies either work or they don't work is sort of how I feel about them. And if they don't work, I want to know what it is about it that I'm not responding to. I really like, I love Labyrinth. That's like a great like film. I love that. I love Romancing the Stone. I love the Indiana Jones stuff. I love, you know, these sort of like adventure Sahara that you mentioned. Like, I like that movie a lot. I don't think that one did that well at the box office for some reason.
Surprisingly not. Yeah, I don't know why. I liked it.
I enjoyed it. I mean, that's kind of, you know, my type of movie is I like, you know, ones with adventure and exotic locations and like wacky characters. That's sort of what I personally kind of respond to the most. I like Grand Budapest Hotel. I think the characters in that are so just fabulously developed and weird and quirky. Just every single character in that is so well developed. More on like the horror side of things, I really like is it Vanderloos or Vanderspool, which is the it's the Dutch version of The Vanishing.
Oh, I haven't seen the Dutch version. I love the foreign horror films, though. Like, one of my favorite horror films is Ju-on, which is the original Japanese film on which The Grudge was based. And then El Orfanato from Guillermo del Toro, which was a brilliant film. And it's people, if you're listening to this right now, ignore the subtitles. You will get used to them. Watch some of these horror films, these foreign horror films, because they're some of the best stuff out there.
Yeah, absolutely. High Tension is a great horror film. Have you seen that? It's a French one.
Yes, I've seen that one.
Yeah, that's fabulous. So Vanderspool or Vanderloos, I forget. It's the same director as The Vanishing, which The Vanishing was the and the same storyline. The Vanishing was the Kiefer Sutherland, Jeff Bridges, Sandra Bullock film. And so, but the Dutch version is like just a little bit, they're both good. It's just a little bit more, subdued, a little bit more like European.
I'll put that one on the list. Yeah, I've not seen that one, but that sounds, like I said, I do like the foreign horror movies. Cause I feel like, and Michael Rosenbaum talks about this on Twitter all the time, a lot of American horror just kind of seems like they're churning out stuff just to be churning out stuff without real substance to it. So yeah, I'll have to check that one out for sure.
So Michael Rosenbaum was on the TV show, The Tom Show, which is the show where I played Tom Arnold's daughter when I was 10.
That's right. See, look at all, it's like, we can do 7 degrees of Mika Boram on the show right now. This will be great. Because you have worked with so many people.
You know, and I emailed Tom. That's where I was like, Tom, get on here. I should have emailed Michael, too. He would have been great in the movie.
Say, that's for the sequel. We can expect a Hollywood.com starring Michael Rosenbaum going forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's great. Yeah. And the movie has Devin Rattray in it, who I mentioned. We have Cody Cash, who's on Desperate Housewives, Brian Krause. Paige Howard's in it, too. She was in Adventureland. And she's on a Nickelodeon TV show right now called The Astronauts. Yeah, it's got a fun cast.
And you can check it out. It's on Amazon, correct? That's where the best place to stream it for people?
Yes. Yes, on Amazon.
Perfect. This has been great. Like I said, it was such a fun film, and that's got to make you feel so good to knock it out of the park, having had so many hats on for this project and to see it all come to fruition. It's got to be a very fulfilling feeling for you.
It's fun having it in front of audiences now and like hearing people's experiences with it. I think that's super cool, you know, because you create something. And I think that the biggest thing with it is to, you know, have it where people connect with something in the storyline, or they connect with the characters, something that they relate to, you know, that they just kind of respond or relate to. So that's been the best part about it.
Yeah. And it's like I said, if you get the chance, it's Hollywood.com, C-O-N. Check it out on Amazon. And it's, if you're in the mood for just a fun movie, you need to kind of just relax and kind of put away all the heavy stuff that's going on, this is a great movie, and I highly recommend you check it out. Mika Boram, tell people where they can find you and keep up with you on social media, websites, things like that.
Cool. So you can find me on social media just under my name, which is Mika Boram, MikaBoorem. And you can check out some behind the scenes stuff for the movie at HollywoodCon.net. And then also, I just want to mention, because some people are confused about the title. So the movie is about con artists in Hollywood, hence the Hollywood.com title. So it's sort of like a little bit of a play on that.
I like it. Very clever. And the movie poster is gorgeous, too, by the way. I love it. It kind of throws back to those serial films, like you mentioned, Raiders and Jewel of the Nile and Romancing the Stone and things like that. So kudos all around. You've got to feel very proud, and as you should be.
Thank you so much. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thanks for the time, and hopefully we'll talk to you again very soon.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. This was a blast. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care. Be well. There she goes, bye. Mika Boram. And we're going to take our next commercial break. We're going to come right back. We'll do we'll chat about Paul Soles and Gavin McLeod, the passing of these two gentlemen. And we'll review A Quiet Place Part 2, all that and more. Stand by.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Soles, voice of Spider-Man and Ermie the Misfit Elf, wanted to be a dentist on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Coming to you on Geek to Me Radio. Hope you enjoy. Talk with you soon.
Here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong?
We lost two people this past week. Paul Soles, which you just heard there, I had the pleasure of interviewing him at Terrificon in Connecticut in 2018. Like he said, he voiced Spider-Man in the original 1960s TV series, Peter Parker and Spider-Man. He also voiced Hermie the Misfit Elf in, I believe it was the Land of Misfit Toys or A Year Without Santa Claus, one of the two, but in those Rankin-Bass claymation. But just the warmest individual. The whole time he was there, he could not believe that all these people were at this convention who wanted to see him. People were up there to talk to him and say hi to him and have him sign stuff. And he'd just this incredulous look. I can't believe people came out to see me. He's a very humble man. So nice. Twinkle in his eye, huge smile on his face the entire time he was there at the con. And I asked him, I said, Mr. Soles, I'd love to have you on my radio show if I could interview you. He's like, really? okay, if you want to. Such a down-to-earth, just, you know, surprise that people wanted to talk to him. And that's it kind of left an impact. Like I said, it's one of those voices of your childhood. I know a lot of people, for me, it was the 80s, and I always think of Dan Gilvezan, but for people a generation ahead of me, Paul Soles voiced Spider-Man in those TV series and on a lot of other stuff, a lot of other acting things he did. He was a voice and radio guy, too, which I relate to on that level. But very sad that we lost such a wonderful human being. And then on top of that, to add insult to injury, we lose Gavin McLeod. Obviously, you know him as Captain Steubing from The Love Boat, and Murray Slaughter from Mary Tyler Moore, among other roles. He was constantly in TV and movies. Super nice guy. And it's always sad when we lose people like this. It's one of the reasons I love going to conventions, because I try to meet these people who might not be around much longer. And it's sad if this past year has taught us anything, it's that people aren't going to always be here. You know, you see these people and you take it for granted that, oh, that's that TV guy. Yeah, he's on that. If you get a chance, if you're going to any of these conventions, go up and say hello to these people. Tell them what the project they did, whatever it was, meant to you. And they love hearing that. That's that. There's no better feeling in the world, I think, than someone appreciating your work and hearing how much it meant to you. So that's one of the reasons I like go to these conventions and meet these people. I just saw George Wendt at Pensacon. He was Norm on Cheers. And it's like, I can't not say hi to Norm. I mean, that was one of the shows I grew up watching. And just to, you know, talk to him and say, hey, thanks for the laughs. It was always fun to see you. And all the he'd always have those one-liners when he'd come in, Norm! And Coach would say something like, how's the beer sound, Norm? And Norm would say, I don't know, Coach. I usually finish them before they get a word in. But stuff like that, the Captain Steubing and Murray from Mary Tyler Moore, those are stars that just, sadly, as time progresses, we're not going to have them around anymore. So please get out and say hello to them if you see them at a convention. Very, very sad to learn of the passing of Paul Soles and Gavin McLeod this past week. I'm going to take a very short commercial break. We're going to come back, and my executive producer, Joey V, who's here with me every week, we're going to come back, and we're going to review A Quiet Place 2. We both saw this one. I'm anxious to hear what he had to say about it, what he thinks, and I will give you my thoughts as well. So please stand by.
This is Sam Jones, Flash Gordon, and you are listening to Geek to Me Radio.
Welcome back to Geek to Me Radio. Our official movie sponsor, Marcus Theaters, marcustheaters.com, and of course, the Marcus Theaters and Movie Tavern. Great place to see movies. We just had a great time, and we just went and saw Cruella at the De Pere Cinema with a group. They had a private cinema, which you can have too. If you want to go see a movie, rent a private cinema at Marcus and Movie Tavern. $99, I think, just through the end. So tomorrow, basically, through the end of the month. But it's well worth it to go out and you get to sit in your own private cinema with 20 of your closest friends, see a movie on the big screen. We saw Cruella, and it was great. The popcorn, the soda, it's a movie-going experience, and that's one of those things that I really missed during the pandemic. So check out the movie website, marcustheaters.com. Find the location closest to you. Get your tickets right there on the website, and it is the best movie-going experience in the galaxy. Speaking of movies, I also, at the Ronnie's location of Marcus, I had a press screening of A Quiet Place Part 2 on Monday. Joey V, my executive producer, he went and saw it. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Good, he's on. Okay, there we go. You saw it as well Thursday. What were your initial thoughts on the movie?
As soon as it was over, I yelled, movies are back, baby. And no one was there cleaning or anything. So I yelled it really loud. I saw it in the IMAX. I had heated seats.
Yes.
And the surround sound, the jump scares, the visuals. It was amazing to be back in a theater in a safe place, too, and just watching the first big action movie since the pandemic started. But it is the first big movie you have to see in the theater, and it's amazing.
Yeah, it was a very good sequel. Sequels, generally speaking, don't hold up as well as the original, and I think, for me, it did not quite get up to the level of the first one because we knew the gimmick, like the fact that these creatures hunt by sound and everyone has to stay quiet, because that was one of the big things. We'd never seen anything like that. And then after they came out, Bird Box hit Netflix, and we kind of had a couple of those kind of in that same genre. But this was a surprise. It was a movie-going experience that we didn't have before. And I remember talking to you off-air about how in that first movie, when I went and saw it, it was deathly quiet. You could hear a pin drop when that first movie came out. Everyone's just tense. It's on the edge of your seat. So there's a little bit of that missing because, like I said, we're all in the gimmick. We know what's going to happen. We know what's going on, per se. But it still did a great job. High tension. The fact that the actors came back and they did a great job. Cillian Murphy did a great job with that. It's kind of a nice role for him. But overall, I didn't have much to complain about. Did you have anything, if you were going to nitpick something?
Well, when we went and saw it together, we were at a different chain of theaters. And the only problem there was that it wasn't soundproof. You know, I could hear what was going on in the lobby. This is a very quiet movie. So that was the problem with that chain. At this Marcus, all Marcuses, it was perfect movie-going experience. So the only thing I would say is that some people aren't ready for the quietness. You know, there'll be people still talking at home next to each other thinking that they're pandemic watching. But no, you're back at the movies. So let's be quiet and let's watch the movie properly. And these jump scares are going to make you scream no matter what, though.
Like, yeah.
They earned them, though. That's what's so good about these jump scares, that it's a quiet movie. And then these monsters, they give you what you're looking for if you're a horror fan. And so people are going to scream. Be ready for that. You may get some maybe soda thrown at you or something. Some popcorn may fly from the seat in front of you or something.
Like a Gallagher event, just kind of bring a tarp and put it over yourself so you don't get any splash from the people close to you. But I mean, like I said, it holds up as a sequel. It was a great, and I think, no spoilers, but obviously they set it up quite well for a trilogy. And I think I just heard the reports that this is looking to do a pandemic record breaker. So far, it beat out already the opening weekend for Kong versus Godzilla. So it's on track to do really well. Its only real competition this weekend was Cruella, which also did well, but it's still A Quiet Place 2 is, I think, exceeding most expectations. So I'm very glad they waited to bring it back in a theater, because a lot of the, like Mulan, threw it on Disney Plus. They're doing a lot of these. Well, we're just going to put it on a streaming service. This, especially if you're listening right now, A Quiet Place 2, like its predecessor, is one that really needs to be seen on the big screen. So if you're feeling safe about it, go head out and feel free to see a movie, rent a private theater. And I think this is one of those ones that definitely does need to be seen in a live theater.
Yeah, it picks up basically right where the last one left off. So let's say you didn't like the ending of the first one. That's because they were saving it for this one.
Right.
So whenever this comes out on DVD or whatever, you're going to watch them back to back. It's going to be 3 hours of just extreme tension. So be ready for that. It picks right up wherever the last one left off. So just maybe watch the first one just to get ready.
Yeah. That's a good idea, yeah. And, thanks to Joey V, my executive producer, for jumping in and helping me with that review. He also is the person who makes the show sound as good as it does. And if you have not yet heard our online shows, we do two shows a week online at geekedmeradio.com. You can find other interviews that aren't on this show. I do want to mention, too, our other sponsor, I'm going to say Max on Movies. You should tune into Max on Movies, by the way, on Saturdays here on the Big 550 KTRS. But Justin's Comics, another guy's name, I just got him confused. Justin's Comics in St. Charles, one of our comic book sponsors for the month of May here. He's got a sale going on throughout the month of May, and he's open tomorrow on Memorial Day. So if you're listening to this right now, go to Justin's Comics. They've got the sale going on through Memorial Day, which is tomorrow. 50-cent comics, 50% off toys, and more discounts. He's got 50-cent comics for back issues under $7 in-store only. 50% off toys, games, and figurines in-store only. Every single time new comics come out, they're 25% off in-store, which is a great way to save yourself some cash. If you're still wanting to keep buying the new comics, go out there to Justin's Comics and get 25% off for the new comics on New Comic Book Day. Just a really great guy and a huge selection of variant. I've always talked about how I'm a big variant cover collector, and he's got probably the biggest selection I've seen in the greater St. Louis area and St. Charles area. So if you're looking for the variant cover, you might want to go see him as well. A lot of back issues in stock. If you're looking for Silver Age, Bronze Age, Copper Age, he's got a lot of different stuff with a lot of assortment across the big two, both Marvel and DC, but all the independent titles as well. He really carries a great selection. So kudos to Justin Burnett of Justin's Comics. We thank him for being on with us for the month of May, and we encourage you to go see him. We're kind of wrapping up the show here. Hopefully you all enjoyed everything. If you get out to see a movie, by the way, Cruella's out right now. We mentioned A Quiet Place Part 2. Spirit is coming out. If it's not out, it's going to be coming out soon. It's an animated film you can take the kids to see. But go out and see a movie in a movie theater, marcustheaters.com. We also want to thank our sponsor, the City of St. Charles, the Greater St. Charles Convention and Visitors Bureau, discoverstcharles.com. We have an interview with Neil Ross, an extraordinary voice actor. I was editing it down today. It's going to be in two parts because I had so much to talk to him. We talked for over an hour, so I'm going to actually release one chunk of it this week and another chunk next week. But we've got some other interviews in the can that I'm trying to get to and push these out. It's a fortune that I've got so many great people to have agreed to speak with me. My thanks, of course, to Mika Borum for being on the show. Hollywood.com, make sure you check that out on Amazon if you're wanting to stay in and kind of have a fun movie night at home. So that's something also we want to recommend our Patreon. If you go to geektomeradio.com, we have the Patreon link. If you can help out the show that way, another way is just to tell people about the show. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at geektomeradio. If you're on Instagram, hopefully you're following right now. Subscribe to the YouTube channel and subscribe on Twitch. Until next week, my friends.
It's not in the way you watch I sound.
Good night!